Hello, welcome along to the bonus material for the best of the week that was, the Dave Berry Breakfast Show podcast. It's always lovely having you on board. So I think we just need to talk about the boozy elephant in the room. Not you, Matt.
You've never called me that before. I think I prefer the hairy situation as a nickname. Matt the boozy elephant Dyson, on the back of a darts shirt.
You know, this is a little peek behind the curtain. That's the whole point of bonus material. Before we get to the boozy elephant in the room, I just want to say I insulted Matt earlier during the breakfast show. It's just gone 10 a.m. That's why we're recording the bonus material now. We play a band every now and again. I mean, it's not my say. It's down to the music team. They're called Crowded House.
Oh yeah.
And they have a song called Weather With You, and it pops up every now and again on breakfast. And of course, Crowded House have got millions of fans all over the world. And there's a bit towards the end of the song, which is a breakfast show host nightmare, where they just have this soft fade of bongo drums that lasts about 35 seconds.
Some bongo breakdown, it's great.
Yeah.
The bongo breakdown. And Matt was playing along on the desk to the bongos. And I pointed out to him, his hands are too big to play the bongos. Now, that is a unique...
It's true.
I know, Andrew. Like, I felt, as soon as I said it...
Big slabs of meat.
Yeah. And I just imagine, like, Crowded House in session going, you're ruining it, Matt!
Stop it.
Lighter. Lighter with the plates of meat.
But every time you bongo along, I feel the room starts to show with your massive bear paws.
Yeah.
Your hands are too big to bongo,
yeah,
Matt.
They are, yeah. They're not plates of meat. I wasn't using my feet.
All right, sorry.
That would be mad if I went into the studio with Crowded House and goes, guys, I've got a new technique for the bongos. I'll just take my shoes off.
Oh, I do great on social ammo, though, that video.
Yeah, that's true.
Matt's taking his shoes and socks off again. It means he's going to play the bongos. Anyway, his hands are too big to bongo, and he's not the boozy elephant in the room. We need to talk about the fact that next weekend, Dry January will be coming to a close.
Yes.
So if you are doing Dry January, first, a huge well done to you because I've abstained before. It can be quite tricky. Some find it easy. Matt, you find it particularly easy to do, don't you?
Well, no, I don't think I do. When it comes to Friday and Saturday, I'm like, oh, I'm desperate.
But binge drinking.
Once you've got to get through, you've just got to get through that first Friday and Saturday, and then it's all right. Then it's okay.
But you came undone, and we talked about it on previous shows where you had a booze.
It's the buzz balls. You see, I would have been fine. I would have been fine if it wasn't for those damn buzz balls.
Yeah, they're Achilles heel now, aren't they?
Every supermarket.
He plays the bongos if it's Achilles heel. Andrea, are you doing Dry January this year?
I've done it before, but look, my birthday is the 1st of February. I've really ruined a few birthdays by going, I can drink again now and having to go home way too early. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, on the 1st of February. Yeah, no, as I say, I'm not doing it this year. But, you know, Matt, you've got a lovely piece of audio you're going to play. This is from a local news channel.
Yes, yeah, there's a lady in York who they asked about whether she was doing Dry January. It's a lovely response. Here it is.
What do you do to cheer yourself up in January? Give us some tips.
What I like to do every day, but I put a drink.
What a drink?
Aye.
What kind of drink?
It's lager.
So you're not doing Dry January?
No, I can't. I've got to get out, love.
Dry January is when you don't drink in January.
I know, I can't do that.
Part of it, I can either.
It's part of my life, but I haven't done bad because I am 80.
Yeah.
Well, it's obviously serving you well.
Too damn right, darling. Hello, mum. Give us a kiss.
She just looks at the camera at the end. She just starts going,
adorable.
Come here, give us a kiss.
Adorable.
But she's 80 and she has a pint of lager every day, so, you know. And I loved it when she patronised, the reporter patronised, said, do you know what a dry January is? She said, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just not indulging. Yeah. Keeping it real.
The boozy elephant in the room that I wanted to address, and, you know, thanks for bringing that clip to air, Matt, because it's, you know, it's given it some nice colour, is I've had a few people now say to me, and it's the way they deliver it, like they've just invented it. And I know they haven't, because I've heard loads of other people use it, and I know you haven't invented it. And like people I really love and trust, good friends, family members, are you doing Dry January? They're doing a damp January.
Oh, good.
So, you know, I'm having one.
So, midweek then.
Yeah, just a midweek, or at the weekends, you know,
damp,
with your booze bombs.
Yeah.
But honestly, everyone I've heard say it to me, looking me square in the eyes, saying I'm doing a... maybe I should call it damp January. They're all doing it like that. I know you didn't just invent that. Because my father-in-law said it to me 3 days ago. Can we all stop saying damp January, please? You're either dry or you're like an 80-year-old woman from York. There's no in-between.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast. It is on with the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Right now. What's going on there, Matt?
Well, a bit of a food special this morning. Okay. First, the potential life hack that's gone viral over the weekend, shared on TikTok by someone called Jessica Pencil, which sounds like a cartoon character's name. She's like a distant cousin of Penny Crayon, I believe. Jessica Pencil shared a picture of her mum cooking, and she says this is the outfit she uses when cooking dinner because she doesn't want to smell like the food. So this is okay. An issue when you're making a meal. You often get the smells of the cooking
it's so annoying.
On your clothing.
You get your fresh little kind of like comfies out and they're all good to go. Then you start to make dinner and then you just smell of chicken soup.
Yeah, exactly. I have the problem all the time. It's often why I just take my top off when I cook, right?
Oh, you do.
I do sometimes.
That's dangerous,
though. But no. It's dangerous. A, it's dangerous. And then my family go, there's all that chest hairs in the food.
It's awful. It's disgusting. So unhygienic.
So I've been told to stop doing that.
So unhygienic.
Yeah, but at least it doesn't kill
your
clothes.
Little bits of belly button fluff popping out into the pan.
But this is one, this other technique is quite an unusual one.
Which
this
I think weirder. Already, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to prefer this technique.
Is it weird that day? I think this is pretty much weird. I don't know if you prefer this technique. What she does is she wraps a whole bin bag.
Let me come have a
bin
look.
Bag around her upper torso. She puts her head through a bin bag and then covers her hair with a carrier bag. And she does that for
if
the whole time.
If she wasn't upright, you'd think she's about to be chucked in the boot of a car, wouldn't you?
She does that for the whole time she's cooking. I don't know why. You can't. An apron doesn't really help, does it?
So no, not with the smells. But you just have to have, if you're going to those extremes, just treat yourself. Yeah. Even go to the local charity shop and do some good. Treat yourself to your cooking outfit.
Right, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Mama, it's time to buy a cooking combo. That's all you do. You just go and get a cheap little t-shirt and some trousers and that's what you're cooking.
Or a cooking hoodie, and then you can cover the hair, you cover the whole top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea.
There
really
are other ways. Okay, but she's like gaffer taped herself into the bag. Something from The Sopranos.
Quite unusual in the kitchen. Bringing it back down to earth now, to real life here in the UK. An update on the Ilkeston glory hole.
I wonder if this was going to make the social media.
It's been viral, it's been trending, it's been gaining traction this week. We spoke not long ago about the bizarre landmark that exists on when we did Hometown Glories. What was it, last summer maybe it was?
Yeah, we were giving you an opportunity to kind of yell from the rooftops about something special about your hometown, and we were joined by one of our lovely listeners. Always, she was fantastic. And it was about Ilkeston, about something there called the glory hole, which effectively is a hole near a cash point.
Yes.
That's very popular.
Yeah, it's been there, this NatWest Bank, for many years. There's a little hole in the wall, and they put a safety bar in the wall. On Monday, this was. They put a safety bar
Why
in
the did they do
the
that?
The town was up in arms.
Why did they do
well, it? Well, they were trying to stop people jumping through it. So kids jump through it, drunk people pose for pictures inside the glory hole. It's a beautiful, weird landmark in Ilkeston.
Yeah.
And they tried to stop it. The town went crazy. It was removed within 24 hours.
It was like when they felled that tree Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
There might be an investigation.
Yeah,
it's like the Sycamore Gap.
Yeah.
The Ilkeston glory hole is up there with the Sycamore Gap tree, right? So the local MP, Adam Thompson, wrote to NatWest going, what the hell is going on with the Ilkeston hole? Saying it's become an iconic symbol of the town, a prominent location, one of the small quirks that contributes to Ilkeston's unique character.
Once talked about on the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, went on to say.
So he was like, I know the pole's been removed, but I want clarification as to why it was put up in the first place.
Good.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable furore over a pole in a hole.
But it has been removed.
It's been removed.
So I can go through the glory hole should I want to after the show.
We're still planning that show trip up to Ilkeston.
It's going to be the greatest OB in radio history.
Yeah. Well, after our weekly Bardcore offering earlier this morning, this is Bardcore music from back in the dark ages. There's a list that's gone viral on Instagram by someone called Moist Buddha of medieval
morning
slang.
Moist.
Morning Moist, yeah. Medieval slang that needs to make a comeback. So we need to freshen up our language and we can go back to the olden days to pick up some words they used to use, like fop doodle, a stupid, idiotic person. That's quite a nice one you can drop into conversation.
Fop doodle.
Such a fop doodle. A gourmandish is a person who won't stop eating. There is also a guffle nut, which is
it's just these trousers, mate.
I can see a guffle nut. A giggly idiot, a giggly idiot is a guffle nut. A slacker or idler, a good for nothing who avoids work, known back back then as a scobberlotcher.
Are these okay to say on air? Are we going to have off-com complaints? Yeah.
I don't think medieval terms are on the list of words you can't
use.
Are
they on Urban Dictionary?
Can you imagine?
I'm pretty sure they're not.
Because I don't think I ever had a fop doodle before. No. What was the last one?
A filthy person is known as a muckworm, and then there's quite a few other ones, but there's a great one for people who are loud and noisy. A noisy person is known as a clapper dungeon, and a person who just yells for no reason is known as a howlbound. So, you know, just shout.
I love these.
They're amazing.
What's the work shy one again? What are they?
The work shy one, the person that doesn't work is known as a scobberlotcher.
A few of those around here, aren't there?
Yeah. There certainly are, yeah. I'm such a fop doodle guffle nut most of the time, to be honest, Dave. But I'll share the full list so we can all start trying to adopt
them. I can't name the show any of those things. I don't know how to spell any of them. But we're going to try.
Try and adopt them going forward if you can, yeah.
This is groundbreaking news. An Austrian cow named Veronica has been found to be using tools with impressive skill. Right, the discovery, which was found by us researchers in Vienna, shows they may have better cognitive abilities than we first thought. Mm. This is cows. She's using her mouth, not her hooves, right? Okay, but she basically...
She's got opposable hooves.
She lives in a mountain village in Austria. She spent
years...
Yeah,
I think I know where she lives, mate.
She scratches her back with a broom or a rake, and she picks it up in her mouth, the handle of her mouth, and just manages to... If she's got an itchy back, she'll use a proper brush bristles, right?
Okay.
And if it's softer, she'll turn the broom round and just get her underbelly with the pole of the brush.
She doesn't do the Baloo thing then, stand on her hind legs and run up and down against a tree.
Because she's got all the tools. So
do you know what it cries out? Do you know what it's crying out? Do you know what it's saying? Do you know what she's saying?
Yeah.
She's saying, please don't eat me.
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
As soon as something can scratch its own back, you can't put it in a bat.
It's hard, isn't it? Yeah.
I've said it once, please, I've said it 1,000 times.
Please don't take all my milk, you know. But I mean,
this is manna from heaven for vegetarians and vegans.
Well, exactly. You know, but I was thinking, like, if she can use a broom, you know, maybe get her sweeping out the stables. You know. If her life of drudgery isn't
come on,
bad
Veronica.
Enough. Yeah, come on, Veronica. Muck out the barn.
Or maybe something. Yeah, and also maybe to go back a step, she could marinate herself, really, couldn't she?
Yeah.
She could put ketchup on her own back.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, do the whole process. Yeah, no, we're joking, of course. It's very impressive what Veronica could do. I'll share it on my Instagram story. She'll be talking about it later and I've saved your data.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It is your opportunity and our opportunity to talk about the things in life that are weird by completing the sentence, is it weird that Samantha, who is a district nurse from Scarborough, and she asks, good morning, Dave, good morning, team, is it weird that I eat kiwi with the skin on, no peeling, no cutting, just like an apple. Everyone thinks it's weird. Samantha, I mean, I've got to really kind of bow to Matt Dyson's better judgment on this one, because you do eat the entire apple.
I do eat the entire apple, core and all.
Yeah.
And I have eaten the entire kiwi before. It's all right, actually. The skin's much thinner than you imagine.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's all right.
Yeah, you can do that.
It's got the old roughage in there, isn't it? Yeah. It's probably better to do that than waste the fruit.
It's like a breakfast show host in many ways. It's rough on the outside, but its skin is very thin. I quite like the contrast. I like the kiwis. I mean, I wouldn't eat the top and bottom of it.
I think cut them off.
The nodules would have to go, but then the rest going straight in, Sam. So, yeah, you're okay. Ashley in Birmingham says, is it weird that I do adult things to peanut butter? But, like, play bridge with it, or...
Yeah, maybe he has, like, dinner parties, he makes vol-au-vents.
Vol-au-vents, yeah. Would you top up your ISA with peanut butter?
I hope that's what Ashley means.
Of course it's what it means. It's time to examine the quirks, the weirdnesses of my friends and colleagues. Andrea, I'm going to start with you. You're not being weird. For once, your husband's not being weird.
For once.
But you were at a wedding where you witnessed something weird. But you want to ask us, do you think this is weird?
Yeah, because I actually think this is quite cool. But people have said it's really unusual, right? So I went to a wedding. And obviously, when you're at a wedding, you want to get a picture with a couple, something for the gram.
Yeah.
I did fail completely at that. Because as soon as you walked into this reception, the couple had a life-size cutout of themselves. And I got about 50 photos with that. Everyone was getting photos with it. Completely forgot to get photos with the couple. I think there was some chat about this cutout maybe going to the after party after the reception, down to the pub. But it's now in their house. I think this is cool, but people were like, you didn't get a picture with the couple. I was like, no, I got 50 of the cutouts of the couple.
So are they in the wedding attire in the cardboard cutout, or is it them in normal clothes?
Normal clothes.
So it was a pre-planned thing.
Very pre-planned.
But are they in their, like, casuals?
They're in their casuals, yeah. So it just looks like we're all dressed up with them in their civvies on a Saturday.
They're in their gym clothes. That is weird.
Yeah.
Did they do it because they wanted to just save everybody the effort of coming over to them and asking for pictures every 5 minutes?
That is, if you are shy and you're getting married, there's a good idea for your wedding, actually.
It's less hassle. Maybe it's also like, don't touch me. I'm in my face. You know, imagine this dress cost. Don't touch me in this dress.
Like, this is a rented tux.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Wow.
Matt, what about you? You talked about getting back on something that you've been a big fan of.
Yeah, I talked to over Christmas. I had some buzz balls with my nieces. It's the new young hip drink that all the kids are drinking. Sorry. Now, like you said, when you see a discarded weird little can in the drain, you send pictures to the group saying, what's happened, Matt?
I thought you were doing Dry January, Matt.
I am still doing Dry January, but I keep being tempted in the supermarket. They have displays of the buzz balls and they're multicoloured buzz balls and that. And I'm getting tempted in this new flavour I haven't tried yet, like pina colada, chili mango. And
wow.
And I mean, I don't know if this is a midlife crisis, but
I think it is, mate, yeah.
I bought some more for the end of Dry January. Yeah. I think everyone
That's
should
how you're going to break your Dry January.
Start
with a
the 1st of Feb with a buzz ball. That's the only way to come out of January. Dry January, get a buzz ball down your neck. Get buzzy with the balls. That's what it's. It's not just the kids, it's now me as well.
Yes, that is very, very weird. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andrew. And of course, to the happy couple.
Yes.
In cardboard.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolute Radio's 3-Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes. Our 3-Dart Challenge. Every presenter at Absolute Radio has just 3 darts, but who will achieve the highest score? The winner of the 3-Darts Challenge is going to be given £5,000 to a charity of their choice. All thanks to Wix Trade Pro. Get exclusive members access to offers, discounts and more with Trade Pro Rewards. Just download the Wix Trade Pro app. And joining us right now, the competition. Andy, the Bushwhacker Bush. And Richie, the Girth Firth. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Our beautiful boys. Here they are.
Here they are. Two of the most famous people on planet Earth right now, thanks to their incredible content created with the cast of Stranger Things, which, boys, I know you don't want to blow your own trumpets. Let me do it for you. As it stands, it's been viewed by over 47 million people. Give them a round of applause.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean,
madness.
I can't, of all the things we thought up for the breakfast show, talking to Stranger Things about board games, it never occurred to me. I'm livid.
Well, I took my youngest daughter for pancakes the other week, and the lady who runs the pancake shop here in Leon C said, sorry, can I just stop you? Are you the guy that was chatting to Stranger Things? I saw you on TikTok.
Yes.
So I've made it.
He's TikTok famous.
I love that.
TikTok famous.
And the fact it happened in front of your daughter is just bonus points right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I thought the only way I was going to get famous is try and eat cinnamon on a video on TikTok, but I'm glad I didn't have to do that now.
So, gentlemen, the reason you're on is we are swapping clothes. Let me explain. Bush and Richie have chosen the shirts we are going to wear for the 3-Dart Challenge, and we have chosen theirs. So we're about to do the big reveal, and later on this afternoon from 4 p.m, your shirts will be waiting for you in the studio so you can do the same. Now, my first question is, have you gone for the full-on nylon dart vibe?
Absolutely, Dave. The quality of the shirt is everything that you would dream and want it to be, and it's going to let those arms fly those arrows.
Oh, I want it to be so man-made as a material that my nipples are chafed after throwing just 3 darts. That's what I want from this. Are we also looking at quite garish designs? Matt and I, have you gone for that?
I would say that Matt's is more garish than yours, Dave.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Not for the first time.
Okay, let's have a little look.
Are you going to open yours first?
Shall I do mine first?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I would say while you're opening them, fellas, just don't let anyone have a cigarette near you.
Oh, my days.
Oh, that's nice. That's
look
really
at that.
Nice. Dave, 3 darts, £5,000 Barry on the back.
You've lent into the Cheltenham Athletic colours a bit, haven't you? There's some red, there's some white, there's some black for the away strip.
That is exactly what we've done, Dave, because we figured that was as close as you would ever get to representing Charlton Athletic in the sporting
team. You're not wrong. Okay, I don't dislike it. I mean, I don't love it, but I don't dislike it. So I will wear it with pride.
Okay, let me look at mine.
Oh my words.
It's got some sort of sloth bear character on it. Is he dressed as Robin Hood?
It's genius.
Where did you find this?
It's genius.
It's a sloth dressed as Robin Hood.
I absolutely love it.
I've got off so lightly here. I can't wait for you to see these.
It's massive as well, to be honest. I should have realised dart sizing is probably...
Have you seen this medium? I could camp in this medium.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It looks like... It's so big, it looks like a nightie, like you've got a sloth nightie.
Yeah. I could not wear any trousers with this. I don't think I'd get away with it.
Boys, great speaking with you. Your shirts will be waiting for you when you arrive at the studios later on this afternoon. Thank you.
Wonderful. A pleasure.
Give it up for Bush and Richie, everybody. Good luck, gentlemen. Speak to you soon.
See you on the hockey.
See you on the hockey. Finally, we have the opportunity to get round to Heather, who says, good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Is it weird that I clean the vacuum cleaner filters in the shower with me whilst also brushing my teeth? Wow. So there's a lot to unpack here, Heather.
How many hands has Heather got to do all of this?
So, I mean, the teeth brushing aside, let's put that aside. Let's focus
on
the filters.
That's normal now, that is. That's quite a lot of people brush their teeth in the shower.
Yeah, I mean, but that's throwing fine. The cleaning of the filters into the equation is madness,
it's bizarre,
Heather.
Isn't it?
It's weird, but I'm always looking for tips like this. I mean, we've been too far on this feature before. We've cleaning your cafetiere in a flushing loo. It's like a legendary.
This is up there with that sort of thing, isn't it?
But what do we think, Matt? Do you think it would...
I think, you know, it saves water, doesn't it? And it's all going down the plug hole. And as long as you don't get it on your body while you're doing it, any dust or...
Yeah.
Then I think it's probably a good idea. Why not just take everything into the shower? Take all your dishes in there.
Just do it all in one big session. I mean, we are a very hairy family, and I'd be concerned about the hair from the filters in the vacuum cleaner going into the plug hole.
Yeah, you're going to have to change.
It's just an
plug.
Extra job then, isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm always, you know, I was today years old when I discovered that when I have leftover like soup, you know, I make a lot of kind of cowboy dinners, as Glenn used to call them. You know, I'd make a lot of broths and a lot of soups that, you know, instead of like trying to pour the juice down the plug hole in the sink and then like taking the kind of bits of chicken or potato or whatever's left over, onion particularly is quite troublesome.
It's tough, yeah, yeah.
You just pour it down a flushing loo.
Oh, wow, really?
Did you not know this?
I've not done that. No.
My barber told me this.
Really?
I was like, that is genius.
I thought you were going to say you use a filter for the plug hole, but
No, just flush it down the loo. Instead of it gathering around there, you just flush as you pour.
Flush as you pour. Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, I've never tried it.
This is what Heather's doing. I mean, this is the same thing, isn't it? Like, you've got the dust coming off, it's going down the plug hole.
Yeah, it is. It's similar. And you're taking something that's not normally in the bathroom to the bathroom, but then, you know... Why not?
Do you know what, Heather? We thought you were weird at first, but you know what? You've changed our minds.
You're so normal.
You've turned it round, Heather, so congratulations. You are just so normal.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Come along to the Breakfast Show on our National Penguin Awareness Day. Penguins are fun and interesting animals that are unique in many different ways. There are currently over 18 different known species of penguin, and some of them have been around the planet for well over 65 million years. That's why Penguin Awareness Day is such a good opportunity to learn more about penguins. I love penguins.
Yeah.
It's always my favourite bit of London Zoo.
It's nice. When you can see them swimming underwater.
That's right. I've got a lovely picture of Evie. She's sat. She's nestled in the little window ledge of the circular window, and there's a penguin behind her.
You have to do that picture.
I'll tell you who's not having a good Penguin Awareness Day. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Does he not know about penguins?
No, well, the thing about him is, and it's not really his fault, but when he was hired to host a nature documentary for the BBC, they didn't realise until they'd obviously already booked him, and it is Benedict Cumberbatch, one of, you know, the great actors. They didn't realise that he was unable to say the word penguin, and it must have been quite a shock for the producers in the voiceover booth when Benedict started dropping these left, right and centre.
Is penguins, crested penguins, parent penguin heading home. So why are these woodlands so attractive to penguins?
Penguins, penguins.
Penguins, we can't even make up his mind how to pronounce it.
It's penguins.
Penguins.
Penguins. Penguins. Let's listen to it again. This is Benedict Cumberbatch.
is penguins. Crested penguins. Parent penguin heading home. So why are these woodlands so attractive to penguins?
And that's of course, the way my little nephew says them.
It's adorable.
Yeah. Of course, Benedict is a good friend of the show. He was, of course, until this happened, courtesy of the Hypebeast Womble executive producer, Mark. Let me take you back in time by about 7 years. Have a listen to this.
And just on the other side is Very Breakfast Show. Good morning, Benedict Cumberbatch as well.
Wow. Don't say that. Don't say that. Not in the hashtag era. Apart from it not being my name, I think certainly people are upset about that. Like the other half of the population.
Let's go to VAR and have another listen to that. Here we go.
And just on the other side is Very Breakfast Show. Good morning, Benedict Cumberbatch as well.
Wow. Don't say that. Don't say that. Not in the hashtag era. Apart from it not being my name, I think certainly people are upset about that. Like the other half of the population.
That is a much worse mispronunciation than penguin.
Give me adorable little penguins any day. That was, and still to this day, as I say, that was maybe 7 years ago, Mark's still not allowed to talk to any guests that we have here. And as the executive producer, that's quite challenging. But we're sticking by that rule hard and fast. So listen, what we want to discuss on your Penguin Awareness Day, the words that you struggle to pronounce as they should be pronounced. Everybody has one in their lives, and maybe it's dogged you for many years since childhood and you still can't quite nail it down. Whatever word that may be, share with the group right now. Shelley in Nottingham says, morning, Dave, morning, Tim. I can't say squirrel. So my work colleagues take great pleasure in getting me to say it as often as possible.
Squirrel, is it? Like the Americans?
Squirrel.
Make sure you let us know at 8, 12, 15 how you're pronouncing the word incorrectly. Becca, the secret chauffeur who loves her mug, she joined us one morning and yes. Becca wouldn't give anything away, would she, about very who she's lips. Driven. Can't say domino.
Donimo. Donimo. Is what all my kids have said when asking for pizza.
Oh, really?
Can we have a Donimo's.
And have you said no, not until you learn to say it
right?
Yeah,
exactly. Maybe then we'll think about it.
Tough parenting. Leanne Donaldson can't say solemnly. She even chose to keep it out of their wedding vows.
Yeah, just drop it. If in doubt, drop it. It is spelt weirdly, isn't it?
Solemnly. Just going to do a little light edit on these, please, Vicar. Dave, my other half, Chris, makes me laugh so much when he tries to say thistle. He says thithel.
Yeah.
We
thithel.
Fall about laughing. So he changes it to prickly thing. Who has enough thistles in their life that they need to rename prickly things? What's going on?
He's living in the Highlands of Scotland. Yeah. That's what
I've always struggled with chimney. I think that's quite a popular one, isn't it?
Yeah,
53 years old, says Jamie. Still say chimney. Christmas chimney. Is such hard work with the kids. Why won't it end? Hi, Dave and the team. I still struggle with the word depot. I presume we got Depot,
right,
which is my rapper name. And up until only recently, I thought that Las Vegas was pronounced Las Vegas.
Las Vegas? Sounds like some sort of Norwegian rock star.
Sarah from Dunstable, that's from. My wife is a midwife at Bloomsfield Hospital, Chelmsford, and she can't say the word umbilical. She says umbilical. I mean, I struggle with umbilical, but I'm not a midwife, though. Yeah. Midwifery is not my game. No, it's not my game. Mark in Ware, we're going to end on this note. Because he starts with one of those things that so many text messages into the studio start with. Just remember, guys. Just remember, guys. The majority are not always right. In fact, pretty much the entire population mispronounces the same word. The Capri Sun drink. Named after the Isle of Capri. The Capri Pants. The Ford Capri. Yeah. The drink is named after the island, as is the car and the pant. So why don't we pronounce it as we do the island it is named after? It drives me nuts, says Mark in Ware. A Capri Sun.
If I ask the kids, do you want a Capri Sun?
To go with your Domino's.
I will be ridiculed wildly. Look, you just got to go where you have to go with them. It's like Richie Firth used to call it Nutella. It's like, I know that's how they say it in Italy, but that's not how it's said here.
No, it's not said here, young man.
Capri Sun, not Capri Sun.
Capri Sun, yeah.
Sounds ridiculous.
It makes it also, it's a little too classy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, well, Lidl.
Oh.
We've all been saying that incorrectly. We discovered that recently. Lidl. It's Lidl.
Yeah.
The Meadle at Lidl. Anyway, thank you very much indeed to Mark, to Sarah, to Jamie, to Leanne, to everybody who shared the words that you are mispronouncing.
Absolute Radio's Three Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, welcome once again to the Absolute Radio Three Dart Challenge. Every presenter in the building has just three darts. But who will achieve the highest score? You have been casting your votes on our website for who you think will win the challenge. If you're right, you could be winning £1,000 to spend in store or online at Wix, all thanks to Wix Trade Pro. Get exclusive members access to offers, discounts, and more with Trade Pro rewards. Just download the Wix Trade Pro app. Now, whichever presenter wins is getting £5,000 to pass on to a charity of their choice. And that's what's kind of put the steel in all of this. This is what's made it serious. That's what I thought all along, but it turns out we're just a competitive bunch anyway.
Yes, true.
Everyone who's been stepping up to the hockey has wanted to win not only for their charity, but also for their pride, to get one over on a beloved stablemate. Because, you know, if you really strip it all back, there's a lot of kind of aggravation between...
There's a lot of egos at play in a radio station,
aren't there? There's a lot of stories. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of, oh, do you remember that time 3 years ago when she said that to him? There's a lot of that going on.
There's a bit of needle going on.
So yesterday was when we all started chucking our arrows. And here on The Breakfast Show, we're going to bring you the highlights of what went down at the hockey. And of course, we have to begin. There's only one place to begin. With us. So without further ado, it is time to find out what happened when Andrea stepped up to the hockey, three darts in hand.
Stepping up to the hockey from the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, it's the Queen of News and Sport, Andrea, the News Hound, Fox. And she's off. That's a five. Just to the right of 20, that's a one. Final dart. It's big. That's 18. Andrea scoring a respectable 24.
So, Andrea, you got 24. Let me get your hot take on that. How do you feel? You proud of that? Or
a little bit disappointed. Okay. My mum told me recently she was in a darts club when she was 18, so I felt like this is good. It's in the genes.
Oh, yeah,
and I've been practising, doing a bit of practising with Leona, practising the weekends. So a little bit disappointed, but I'm glad all the darts went in the board.
Yes, OK. Yes. Let's not focus on the jeans. Let's focus on the polyester top you were wearing instead, shall we? What was that again?
I didn't have, like, a darts top, but I wanted to get into the mood, you know, get some polyester sporty against the skin.
You need to be flammable if you're going to play darts.
Gotta be. 100%. And it was, it's the top I got on holiday in Madeira. It's Cristiano Ronaldo's first team.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. A very fetching canary yellow, actually, wasn't it? You can see a little video on the Absolute Radio socials of us all stepping up to throw our three darts, by the way, in preparation. This was just the practice throw that you can see on the socials. So I think I'm going to play you what happened when I stepped up.
Okay.
Here we go.
Taking to the hockey, it's the host of the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. It's Dave, three darts, $5,000.
God, I love that guy.
Let's play darts. Oh, that's big. It's 20. To the right, 13. Dave's final dart, it's treble one.
It's a treble.
Leading the way, it's Dave Berry with a total of 36.
I always try to finish on a treble one. It's just something I've always done. It's just something I've always done.
A unique quirk of yours, isn't it? Yeah.
So I got a 20, a 13, a treble one, which obviously is 36.
Decent,
is my total.
It's decent, isn't it?
And so there is just one member of the team remaining that you said could possibly win the three-dart challenge. You voted with your fingers and your devices. He was in the top three. He was switching places with his rock and roll football teammate, Matt Ford. This is how Matt Dyson got along.
Taking a slow, sloth-like walk to the hockey now, it's Matt the Hairy Situation Dyson. He's off the mark with a five.
Oh no.
He's missed. It's all on this final dart. It's a one.
I think it's the worst. I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
I got a bullseye in the warm-up, but, you know, yeah. That doesn't count. Oh. That doesn't count, the warm-up.
I've heard you say that sentence so many times over the last 12 hours.
I also
hours.
Think, for amateurs, darts is a lottery, right? So it's just what happens in the moment with those three darts. And I was in that right little three, like little quadrant of the board.
Oh, yeah.
But just to either side.
You were trying to show your working.
Either side of the 20. Yeah. That's why I did so badly.
Well, you say either side of the 20. You missed with your second dart.
Yeah, I did. That
entirely.
Horrible sound of it hitting the metal really makes it feel even worse. I'm loving Sturge's commentary, though. That's
very nice. Yeah, lovely.
Very unexpected Tony Green replacement we've got there from Sturge.
Don't try and change the subject. But, we're on to you, Matt.
So, we're all winners at the end of the day. That's what a great event.
Apart from your charity, of course, who aren't going to be getting anything, are they? Let's break it down a little bit.
I don't think we should.
I think we really should. In fact, let's hear it one more time. We can break it down.
Taking a slow, sloth-like walk to the Oki now, it's Matt,
the hairy situation, Dyson.
He's off the mark with a 5. Oh, no. He's missed. It's all on this final dart. It's a 1.
My head went. Clearly, once I missed the board, I knew it was not looking good. Yeah. And then I got a 1 to try and redeem myself. So, it can happen. It happens to the best at times,
Which means in the studio here, we have Andrea on a very respectable 24. Me on a surprisingly good 36. Matt on 6.
I'm blaming the nylon. I didn't like the feel of it against the skin. It's all great looking like Phil the Power Taylor for a little bit, but it just doesn't work for me as a texture on my skin.
Now here's the thing. Tomorrow on the show, we are going to switch it to the other end of the day, because tomorrow morning it's going to be Battle of the Evening Shows. We're going to play you what happened when Danielle Perry went head-to-head with Jay Lawrence. But here's another thing coming further down the line, because so many presenters had a go at the three dart challenge yesterday. Matt's got 6. That is not the lowest score.
I can't believe it. I'm
achieved at the three dart challenge by an Absolute Radio presenter. Not just one presenter, but two other individuals have done worse than six. They'll never live it down. We'll tell you who they are, exclusive to The Breakfast Show, over the coming days.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome to The Breakfast Show on your international play date today. A cherished occasion when the youngest amongst us gather, fostering friendships, sharing laughter, and building the bonds that shape their world.
Or, as I like to call it, providing free childcare for other parents.
It's a delicate ecosystem.
It really is.
But as the father of a 7-year-old, one you have to enter. Yeah. You have to be part of that delicate ecosystem.
You do, yes, yeah. And they tee it up. And if you host one, you have to get one in return. That's the rules of the play date.
Yeah, and I think it works. I think the system works. The
Generally,
system isn't broken.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes people are going to take things too far.
They do, yeah. They take advantage of your good nature. Sometimes.
Have you ever taken advantage of the good nature?
No, but I've had it taken of me. And they always say, oh, the kids have asked for. Oh, yeah, Maggie's friend was asking if they could come round, specifically at 5:30 on Wednesday afternoon when I've got a doctor's appointment. Could she come round then?
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. There's another way of looking at that. Someone's in need. They're clearly ill. They need to go to the doctors. Would you please look after my child for an hour?
Of course, I am quite willing most of the time. But
I can imagine you are. I imagine you throw a good play date. Do you throw a good play date?
Yeah. It's good. The more the merrier. Yeah. It can be true, because it's hard to tell off children that aren't your own, isn't it? It's hard to know where to draw the line.
Oh, sorry.
You've hosted some big ones recently, haven't you?
I've hosted some big ones. The thing that gets me is how, just if you have 3 of them, right? Three of them were the other day, Sarah Jane's at work. 3 of them are there with me. I pick them up from school, and they all do things at such different paces. That, you're just like, right, take your shoes off. One of them's shoes off, bang, gone, straight through to the front room. Then so I go chasing after that one. Yeah. I look back and they're still the other going, oh, well, here's a Velcro. My hands are too weak to pull it back. I don't know if I can do it. It's so strange. Yeah. They all do things at different speeds. So International Play Date Day is being billed as a cherished occasion when the youngest amongst us gather, fostering friendship, sharing laughter, and building the bonds that shape their world. But of course, if you are a parent or an auntie or an uncle and you have hosted a play date, you know they can go horribly wrong. And joining us right now, we have Stuart. Good morning to you, Stuart.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Stuart, welcome along to the show. So, it's a play date, and it did end in disaster. One of your kids' friends came over one Sunday afternoon. You didn't know her, but you thought, she seems like a good kid. Is that the assessment here?
Yeah, it was the first time we'd had my youngest daughter's friend over, and we thought, yeah, no, she seems fine. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we're a little bit bored. They're going a bit stir-crazy. So my wife said, why don't you take them to Pets at Home?
Pets at Home. Now, any parent out there will know you've got to do a trip to Pets at Home.
Oh, it's a free
you go straight to the back, you look at all the fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you slowly go around the furries.
You've got a good hour milling around in there. Yeah.
It's a great way. Weekend, isn't it? So you're in Pets at Home, and it's your daughter and her friend. How old are they at this point, Stuart?
So we're in primary school. I think they were probably 7 or 8, maybe, okay, something like that.
7 or 8. And this is when things start to go slightly wrong, because your wife, she's had a really nice idea, and you're at Pets at Home, you're having a good time, you're looking at all the little furries, and then the eyes focus in on you, and your daughter's friend demands something. What does she demand from you, Stuart?
That I buy her a hamster.
Great delivery, Stu. What? What a ridiculous request.
The reason we got this on, this isn't just like a 7-year-old. You know, I've got a 7-year-old. Matt, you've got a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, please, can I have a hamster? And you go, no, you can't have a hamster, darling. Yeah, I'm really sorry. You can't have one. It doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end like it should end. It goes badly, doesn't it, Stuart? What begins to happen?
I politely say, look, I don't really think I can do that. And then she says, no, it's fine. My mum said it's fine. You can buy me a hamster. I really don't think that she would be fine. No. Anyway, it ends up in having a full-scale meltdown. Oh, the most spectacular performance I've ever seen. It would have got Golden Globe. She literally throws herself to the floor.
She's screaming.
Full she's tantrum. Crying. So I've got to try and just like contain the situation and try and get her out of Pets at Home without a hamster.
What did you do?
That's such a unique sentence to someone hosting a play date. Yeah.
Did you get the staff to help or what?
We must have been... everyone was looking. They couldn't help. There was nothing they could do. I mean, we ended up in there for about 20 minutes just trying to calm her down.
What do you do? Do you, like, kind of try and just de-escalate it by buying her a fat ball or something? I mean, so she calmed down and you got her out, and you got her out of Pets at Home.
I ended up buying her a toy for a hamster, so when her mum gets her a hamster, then she's got a toy for the hamster.
Now, that is smart.
Yeah, really nice.
So the first thing we do right now is we thank Stuart for his time, and of course we do, Stuart. Thank you very much indeed. The second thing we do is ask, if you work at Pets for Home, can you tell that people are just in there as a cheap alternative to taking their kids to the zoo?
Georgina, who is age 12, has got in touch with the show. Good morning, Georgina. It starts with, my mum let me text this.
Just wanted to get that out of the way. That's the T's and C's sorted.
You must have the permission of the bill payer before you send. We all know that.
So Georgina says, my mum let me text this, Dave. When I was 4, I was with my friend Amelia and we painted our toes and lips with nail varnish.
Oh, the flavour. I hope you didn't get any in your mouth. That's
awful. That is awful.
How have you got something? It doesn't matter. Grandma thought we were being quiet, so she came up to check on us and found us in an absolute mess. XOXO, says Georgina. Thank you for sharing.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. I had planned a birthday sleepover for my son. One of the parents asked to come over to, quote-unquote, chat about it a couple of days before. I know this parent, so I was happy to see her. Anyway, she went on to risk assess my home. Asked me to add foam to my fireplace and make sure I locked all of the windows. Oh, and also said, you will be sleeping with them, won't you? No, I will not be sleeping in the same room as 8 to 7-year-olds. That's madness. Anyway, says this anonymous texter, fast forward to the party. Kids are all hyper, dancing, karaoke, etc. It was a teepee party. I'd given them all tiny torches that they were all swinging around in excitement. And yes, Dave, you guessed it. Which kid got smacked in the eye by the swinging torch? Oh, yes,
Risk assessment mum's kid. Oh. That's who spent the rest of the evening promising I'd look for eye damage and concussion. What a birthday. What a birthday. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your tales on this International Playdate Day.
It is Wednesday morning, and right now on The Breakfast Show, it's time to talk all things
Absolute Radio's Three Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, our Three Dart Challenge. Every presenter has just three darts, but who can achieve the highest score? You have cast your votes on our website as to who you think will win the challenge. So someone is going to be winning themselves £1,000 to spend in-store or online at Wix, all thanks to Wix Trade Pro. Plus, the winning radio host will get £5,000 to go towards a charity of their choosing, which is just ever so generous from our friends with DIY Benefits, Wix. So, it is time to move on to those at the other end of the spectrum when it comes to the chronological radio clock. We focused on us, the early birds, yesterday, and now it's time for those who do fine work in the evenings. It is the evening show versus the late show. It is Danielle Perry versus Jay Lawrence. One was wearing a hat, a trilby hat, the kind of hat that only a real muso could wear.
Yes.
Jay was wearing an American football helmet.
Yes, of course. Must have made it hard.
They both rocked up to the hockey. So shall we listen to how Jay did, first of all?
Yes.
Now, this is the first time I'm hearing this. We're all hearing this together for the first time. And without further ado, this is Mr. Jay Lawrence.
The Three Dart Challenge continues, and this morning, it's the After Dark battle. It's the evening show versus the late show. It's Danielle Perry versus Jay Lawrence. Stepping up to the hockey first, it's Jay Lawrence. That's a four. That's two. Ah, but it's a bigger finish, 16. Jay Lawrence scores 22.
Okay, oh, well done to Jay. Yeah, that's not too right, bad. Not too right. bad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. As we say, wearing an American football helmet at
yes,
the time.
With
the
green, you know, in
front. Was that for protection from his own darts? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, Danielle Perry, is she going to do better or worse than Jay, do you think, Matt?
I think she's going to do better.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll Andrea? Vote for Danielle doing worse.
Okay, well, let's find out, shall we? Here we go.
Danielle Perry stepping up.
Come on, Pezza.
Oh, yeah. Wow, matching Matt Dyson's total with her first dart. Oh. That's a six.
Shade.
Nice.
That's 13.
Oh,
a beautiful dart to finish. Another 13.
Oh.
That's a very Perry respectable score of 32.
Oh, she's
putting
good at
Pezza in second place overall.
Wow. Very nice. Danielle Perry is in second place.
Amazing.
Of course, she's behind me. I've got 36,
yes,
as we discovered yesterday.
More than Bez.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and speaking of Bez, we're going to hear his attempt and the attempt of Sean Ryder on the Absolute Radio 3 Dart Challenge. Everyone, you just wanted to best Bez.
That's all I wanted to do, yeah.
I wanted to best Bez. You can see how much we wanted to best Bez on our social media channels right now.
Yes.
There is a video of us throwing our darts.
Yes, you really can. And what are two Happy Mondays legends, getting them to throw arrows for us is an amazing coup.
Just incredible. So without further ado, this is Bez.
Shaking his maracas up to the hockey, it's Bez.
Oh, no,
it's a miss. Second dart, 14. And finally, it's at the top, it's a 20. Bez from the Happy Monday scores 35.
Right, so Bez, of course, is called Bez because his surname is Berry, in case you didn't know this.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of you did. That means currently our top three is Berry, Berry and Perry.
Amazing.
That's how it's
that's
going.
That's how it stays like that.
Yeah. Berry, Berry and Perry are the top three on the Three Dart Challenge. And now it is time to find out how Sean Ryder got along. Look away now.
Will it be a happy Monday? It's Sean Ryder. It's a miss. It's another miss.
And another miss. It's a no score for Sean Ryder.
When I said look away now, I wasn't talking to you, Sean.
Oh, dear.
He's got zero.
Zero. He missed with all the
time. Did he forget his glasses that day? What happened there?
I don't know. I don't think he didn't hit the board at all. That means the bottom two are Matt Dyson and Sean Ryder.
Great.
Now, that's a good night out there.
The Dave Berry Breakfast.
Absolute Radio.
It is Thursday morning, and every single Thursday, we give you the platform to tell us about the thing in your life that fits perfectly under the umbrella of it happened, but we'll never speak of it again. Now, you share your stories in full. I'll do the edits on your behalf. The number is 81215. Rich in Leek says, "Hi, Dave. Many years ago, I was in lifeguard training. I was on an update with other trainers and was acting as a casualty on a spinal board in the water. Board, I felt something on my foot. I moved my foot around trying to figure out what it was rhythmically, round and round. I was totally mortified when I realised that it was the
redacted
of the woman holding the bottom of the board.
What?
I'd never met her before. No words were shared."
Whoa. That is
they
a
used the word
one.
Rhythmically round and round,
yeah,
Rich.
No, yeah. What? How did that happen?
Tony from Belfast. "Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. As a young police officer, I was bursting for the loo. I went to a public bathroom and used a urinal, only to discover with horror that it was the sink."
Oh, no.
Tony only discovered this, bear in mind, in full police uniform,
yeah,
when a member of the public washed his hands beside him.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. What a thing to witness. You can't do that as a police officer.
I must have thought he was just on a stag do or something, yeah, dressed as a police officer.
Get me the police complaints commission on the phone now.
It was the learner plate he had stuck to his back when he gave it away. So it happened. Yeah, sure it did. But we'll never speak of it again. Listener Victoria. "Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. It happened, but we'll never speak of it again. In the 90s, I was in a nightclub dancing on the stage. I thought I was the
redacted. Redacted.
Because everyone was looking at me. But as my bestie was flailing towards me, I realised my left
redacted
was hanging out. I panicked, turned round and fell straight off the stage. I then stood up to find my already skimpy dress had risen to my belly button, showing my
redacted.
And I still had my left
redacted
on show. We never spoke of it again." Thank you, Victoria. "I was playing five-a-side when I got walloped with a football in the
redacted.
They
redacted
up massively, so I had to go to the doctors. The doctor was a mum of one of the cricket team my young son played for.
Oh, no.
She inspected the infected area.
Oh, no.
We then had 2 minutes of small talk while she completed the paperwork. Safe to say, we never spoke of it again."
Oh, that's amazing. Of all the people to be the doctor. But that's what the Hippocratic Oath is for. You know? It should remain private.
It's very true. Probably not using the word small talk's a bit harsh on yourself, but
redacted. Yeah.
"Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Anna in Newcastle here. My friend once went to a school reunion. She had attended a Catholic primary school and the local priest attended the reunion. He was saying hello to everyone and he shook my friend's hand and asked how she was. She meant to say either, I'm fine, thanks, or I'm canny, thanks, which is, of course, local Geordie slang,
yeah,
but got the two mixed up. And when he asked her, she said, I'm
redacted.
Thanks." She was mortified.
All Hail Marys.
There's some pebbles guiding the shoes after that one, kiddo, let me tell you. And naturally, we never spoke of it again. Okay, Lisa's got in touch. "Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. I'd been in a new job for just a week. There was a single bathroom next to our small open plan office where we all sat, including my boss.
deeply absorbed in work, I didn't notice the boss leave her desk. Nature was calling, so I got up to go to said loo. This toilet didn't have a handy engage slash vacant or a slider with the helpful red-green indicator, so I bowled straight in. I opened the door with such gusto that it didn't give any possible occupant the chance to shout, "Wait! Wait!" or block the door. No, it didn't. Instead, I was greeted with the view of my boss's...
Redacted.
Oh, no.
Full...
Redacted.
Oh.
After 7 years, she left the organisation just last month and neither party ever spoke of the incident again.
Oh, wow. It didn't come up in the exit interview or anything like that. That is... What a thing to keep secret.
The warmest of welcomes to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show on your Thursday morning, where, as promised, it's time to talk...
Absolute Radio's three-dart challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, our three-dart challenge. Every presenter had just three darts... Who will achieve the highest score? You've been voting on our website. If you nail down the person who does achieve the highest score, you could be winning £1,000 to spend in-store or online at Wix, all thanks to Wix Trade Pro, who are also going to give £5,000 to our winner to pass on to a charity of his or her choosing. So, we kicked this whole thing off on Monday, where we discovered Matt Dyson had scored just six. And at the time, I said, if you think six is bad, and trust me, six is bad.
Very close to the 20. I think we all saw on the video how close I was to the 20.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly times. What Luke Humphrey says when he doesn't win the World Darts Championship. Anyway, I said, but it's not the lowest. Six makes you... the third lowest scoring Absolute Radio presenter.
Anyone could have done any worse.
Well, two people did. Two individuals scored lower than six. It is time to name them and shame them live on The Breakfast Show. And we begin with this. Claire Sturgis, it's over to you.
It's day three of Absolute Radio's Three Dart Challenge. And this morning, it's the battle of the best buds. It's Ben Coley versus Dan Noble. Ben Coley steps up to the hockey first. Let's play darts. First dart. It's a one. It's another one. Final dart. It's another one.
Consistent at least.
Ben Coley, all talk, no trousers. With a total of three.
Wow.
Three.
Three ones. This is amazing.
You know, Ben's been doing early breakfast and I bumped into him in the lift.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, square in the eyes. Mm. He's got these, like, puppy dog eyes, yeah. Ben. And he looked at me and he went, Dave, I've got a three. So, Sturge set up nicely there that it was Ben versus Dan Noble. Yeah. Surely Dan Noble, that can't pure slice of hunk,
yeah,
couldn't have scored lower than a three on a three-dart challenge. Could he, Sturge?
Dan Noble steps up to the hockey and takes aim. It's a one. Oh, no, it's a miss. Last dart. It's a one. With the lowest score from an Absolute Radio presenter so far, Dan Noble scores two.
Oh, dear.
Two. I mean, there's so many things I want to say about a two, but...
Redacted.
Yeah, I mean, and also, Dan...
Redacted.
How could you possibly...
Redacted.
I mean, yeah, the layout of a dartboard is unforgiving, though. Putting the one so close to the best score, it's easy. It's easy to fall into that trap, as I found out.
Plumbing new depths with talking about the layout of the dartboard there.
But
mate,
I'm just delighted that they got ones. That's so good.
Yeah, when I lost that game of chess, it was all the checkers on the board that really threw the black one next to the white one. It really threw me. So there we go. Dan Noble scored a two. So I spoke to my dad yesterday on the phone. I gave him a call. I gave Bob a call. And I said, just to let you know, Dad, in case you missed it, I got 36 on the three dart challenge. He went, Well done, boy. That's double 18. Very good. What did you get with the other two darts?
Redacted.
I believe they call it banter, don't they? They call it banter.
Good.
Yeah, thanks
banter.
For the banter, Bob. Thank you. Okay, up next. Well, yesterday we shared with you the Happy Mondays having a go at the three dart challenge. It was Sean Ryder and Bez. We have two more celebs having a go. Dermot Kennedy and Dynamo are stepping up to the hockey.
It's time for our next celebrity pairing. Mixing magic with music, it's Stephen Frayne, a.k.a. Dynamo, versus Dermot Kennedy. Dermot Kennedy takes aim. It's a nine. Another nine. And it's a 13. Over me, singer Dermot Kennedy scores 31.
So Dermot Kennedy got, very respectable 31. That puts him fifth on the leaderboard. Let's find out how Stephen Frayne, a.k.a. Dynamo...
I'm expecting big things here. I think he might even swallow the dart or something. Make the board disappear.
Here we go.
Levitating towards the hockey, it's Dynamo. Oh, it's our first outer ball. It's 25.
Ooh.
8. Final dart. Oh, it's big. It's 14.
Oh, wow.
Dynamo knocking Dave Berry off the top with a grand total of 47.
Yeah, bested by a close-hand magician. Yeah. My worst nightmare come true. We now have Dynamo top of the presenter/celebrity leaderboard with 47. I'm second with 36. Then Bez is 34. Danielle Perry's 32. Dermot Kennedy, our latest celebrity to make it into the top five with 31. We ran out of paper to get down to Matt, Ben and Dan. So far down the list. Can't quite find them there. So the three dart challenge continues. You can enjoy this with your actual eyes as well. It's across the Absolute Radio socials. I've put it on my grid as well. Dave_Berry_Insta. Go check it out.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Good morning. Welcome along to the Breakfast Show. It is Friday and it is very much time to talk.
Absolute Radio's three dart challenge with Wix Trade Pro.
Yes, the Absolute Radio three dart challenge. Every presenter here in the building was given just three darts, but who could achieve the highest score? You did cast your vote on our website. Who do you think will win the challenge? Could see you winning £1,000 to spend in store or online at Wix, all thanks to Wix Trade Pro. And what's more, they are also going to donate a massive £5,000 to the charity of choice of our three darts challenge winner, which is just wonderful. And right now, as promised, I'm bringing you the Home Time Boys, our flammable dart shirt wearing brothers. Bush and Richie finally stepped up to the hockey. We're going to start with Bush, I think. Shall I start with Bush or Richie? Let's start with Bush.
Okay, good.
We're going to start with Bush. Claire Sturgis, kindly take it away.
It's the end of the first week of the Three Dart Challenge, so to bring it home for this week, it's the Home Time Boys stepping up to the hockey.
I back Bush to do really well.
First up is Andy, the Bush Whacker Bush, in a stunning cowprint dart shot.
You're welcome.
First dart.
Lovely.
Oh, he misses the board. Unlucky for some, it's 13.
Oh, I've missed it.
Oh, no. It's another miss. Oh,
yeah. That actually happened.
Bush, who posts the score of 13.
He hit 13 with his second dart and the other two missed the board entirely.
Board completely.
Wow.
He still beat me as well. That's really hard to take. That's painful.
He still got 10 times more than Dan Noble. So Bush has got 13. Now, Richie was someone you guys out there were backing to do really rather well at the three dart challenge. So he stepped up in the bullseye nylon dart shirt that we chose for him on line.
Very nice.
He looked great. So, Sturge, take it away.
Next up to the hockey is a man with Bully from Bullseye on his shirt. It's Richie the Girth Firth. Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
Oof, rough start. That's a miss.
Oof.
Better with a second dart. 13.
Oh, dear.
And he hits the treble six with his final dart. Another 18 on his score. Bringing him to a total of 31.
Yes, we had a 1-3, then a 3-1.
Decent, from Richie. Really, isn't it? Yeah.
So he's the kind of home time champion, yeah, as it were, yeah, as it stands. We're going to find out how not one, not two, but three traitors managed to do when they tackled the three dart challenge. Now, don't worry. These attempts are not plot spoilers from this week's episodes.
Not that quick.
But if you've not caught up on last week's episodes, you may want to turn your volume down to zero. I'm going to give you a count for this. 3, 2, 1. Davey disappear. Okay, Matt. Now, you're a big fan of The Traitors. You're watching it with the entire family.
Yeah.
We've got Faithfuls, Adam and Sam up next. So, do you think people want Adam to do well on the Three Dart Challenge?
Adam and Sam, yeah, I think they were both fairly likable characters, weren't they?
I think they were quite popular with the ladies.
So, I think people will be backing them.
Okay, so let's find out how Adam got along first. Sturge?
First up to the Ockie, Traitors Faithful and professional ghost hunter. But will he be haunted by his score? It's Adam. Dart number one. It's a 2. Second shot. Oh, that's a big miss. Final dart. It's a respectable 12. Adam from the Traitor scores 14.
No help from the spirit world there. He was an interesting character, Adam, yeah. Mm. They showed him like ghost hunting in his room in the castle in those weird bits where they show. He's obsessed with ghost hunting.
I can't believe I plot spoiled myself. I was going to start watching it tonight for the first time. Okay, so that was Adam. Will he be bested by Sam?
Next up, Faithful Sam. He survived a lot of heat in the castle, but can he handle the heat of the Ockie? First dart. It's a 9. Second dart. Oh, just a 3. Final shot. It's a 7.
That's not good.
Sam from the Traitor scores 19.
So, Faithful's Adam and Sam, well, they got 14 and 19 respectively.
Mm-hmm.
It's now time for something a little spicier, because it's time to find out how secret traitor Fiona did on the Three Dart Challenge. Here we go.
And the final traitor up to the Ockie, it's secret traitor Fiona. She caused chaos in the castle with the murders that she committed. Was it really a safe idea to put three darts in her hand? We're about to find out. First dart.
What was that?
It's a 3. She scores 9 with her first dart. Next shot. It's a 12.
That's a 12?
Final dart. Oh, it's a miss.
That's a 6.
Wow. Lovely to hear a voice.
Fiona, the secret traitor, scores a total of 21.
So our secret traitor got 21.
It's hard with the hood over you.
She could have lowered it. We didn't say you can lower it if you want. And then she had the kind of fringe like Claudia, and that didn't help either. So as it stands, Dynamo is still number one on the presenter / celebrity scoreboard. I'm number 2. Bez is 3. Daniel Perry is 4. Richie Firth has managed to put himself 5th.
Okay.
But joint 5th with Dermot Kennedy.
Oh.
Andrea, you're just after them in 6th place. Lovely. Interestingly, places 8, 9, 10, all in a row, all the traitors.
Oh, really?
They're all next to each other, firmly in mid-table. And, of course, we will have more action from the Absolute Radio 3 Dart Challenge exclusively for you on The Breakfast Show come Monday morning. Right now, let's keep it all things
Absolute Radio's 3 Dart Challenge with Wix Trade Pro,
as we do a very special darts version of the Smash.
Yeah.
Yes, it is darts versus music. And I'm going to get us started with a Simon and Garfunkel special.
Okay, great.
Dart Garfunkel.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah.
You can call me Ali Pally.
Oh, a double punch.
There we go. Matt Dyson, what you got for us?
Well, I've gone for 3, all based around one 80s legend from East London. Flat Eric Bristow, yeah. Eric Sister Blistow. From Faithless.
Yeah.
And he was also known as the Crafty Cockney Rebel.
Oh!
You see, 3 twists on one Eric Bristow.
Very nicely done, Matt. Andrew, are you joining in?
Heart of Darts from Blondie, I thought.
Yeah,
maybe?
Very good. Yeah, that's good.
Bullseye of the Tiger.
Bullseye of the Tiger. Yeah, like good.
Yeah. And Phil Higher Power Taylor.
Higher Power Taylor. There we go. Rock Around the Clocky. like Oki from Charlie in Birmingham. Yes. ZZ Double Top is great work from Nelly the Trucker, and Jez the Grab got in touch with that as well. Luke Sir Duke Littler is nice from Rach in Glasgow. Wuthering Flights from Chris in Sittingbourne is nice. Matt, you got any over there?
Yeah, on a similar note, Pete in Liverpool's gone for There Is a Flight That Never Goes Out. Oh, lovely. Sarah in York suggested Chairman of the Dart Board.
Naturally.
Phil the Power Taylor Swift says Ian in Mansfield. And Lucas in Reading has gone for The Only One I Throw.
Brilliant work, nice. Lucas, Ian, Sarah, Pete, Chris, Rach, Nelly and Charlie. Bravo. That is Darts versus the Playlist. Done.
Five words. £5,000.
Absolute Radio.
And so here we go again. Yesterday we had yet another one out of five on Five Words, £5,000. Hoping to buck that trend is Cindy. Good morning, Cindy.
Morning, David.
Good morning, Cindius. Welcome along to the show. It's lovely having you on board.
Cindy,
Cindius is Maud at Stoke-on-Trent. That's right, Maud. Cindy lives on a houseboat, everyone.
Yes.
Love that. Oh, Cindy, I must ask, how's your bilge pump?
Good.
I'm pleased to hear it. Right, let's spin the round and play generator. See you playing with this morning.
£5,000. Player generator.
Matt Dyson. Andrea Fox. Free choice.
Andrea Fox, it's got to be. After yesterday's one out of five, not Matt Dyson. Matt Dyson's in play. Oh, no. Cindy, are you happy with that?
Yes, I'm very happy.
Oh,
very
good, happy. Cindy, good. Okay. You will not regret this.
All right, then, you. Sling your hook.
Come on.
Let's have a look at you through the porthole.
Yes, nice.
Get going. Now's not the time to adjust your trousers. Making a live entertainment breakfast show, for heaven's sake. And at last, he's gone. Cindy, my Cindy, I'm about to give you five words. You say the first word that comes to mind. Follow on, opposite, normally a good way to go. But you know that because you've scored four out of five before whilst playing along, listening on Absolute Radio 70s. Shortly, Matt Dyson's going to come back through the porthole and I'm going to give him the same five words. If they match up, you are winning £5,000. I would love that for you, Cindy. So good luck. Let's play five words, £5,000. Your first word this morning is... Dart, D-A-R-T, dart.
Dart board?
Yeah, that's 100%. Board. That's it, Cindy. It's good. Medicine.
Cabinet.
Yes, this is good. Sharp, S-H-A-R-P, sharp.
Blunt.
Emotional.
Emotional. Roller coaster.
And finally, Cindy, your word is leather. L-E-A-T-H-E-R. Leather.
Jacket.
Yeah, it's that old mask, isn't it? Cindy, well done. That is a great set of answers. They are locked in. Matt Dyson's in play. It's happening next. Cindy!
£5,000.
Absolute Radio.
Yes, we are playing £5 words, £5,000. Matt Dyson is now back in the studio and Cindy is still on her houseboat and she is ready to win £5,000. Good luck, Cindy. Good luck, Matt.
Okay.
Let's play £5 words, £5,000. And we begin this morning with the word... Dart.
Board.
Correct. Cindy, good. You got one. Well done.
Thank you.
Good.
Up next. Medicine.
cabinet.
Correct.
Has to be.
It has to be. It is. It has to be. And it is. It has to be. And it is.
Come on, Cindy.
When the boats are rocking, don't come a knocking. And right now, Cindy is rocking that boat in Stoke-on-Trent, let me tell you. Oh, we're not going to hear the song, I've just realised. We're not going to hear the song. We're definitely not going to hear
the song.
Cindy has spared the nation the one out of five on five words for
if
five grand.
Else,
she's a hero, a national treasure
that.
Is what you are right now, Cindy. Okay. Matt, what do you say when I say sharp?
Blunt.
Yes.
Come on, we went opposite, Cindy. We never were going to go opposite. Come on.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I was
nervous for you then.
Sharp edge, I think it's
one to go on opposite.
But suddenly we went from two follow-ons and then Cindy chucked in the opposite and you followed the lead and I love that.
It works for that word, doesn't it?
It works. It just works.
Cindy just gets it.
She just gets it.
Yeah.
You know, I live on land, she lives on sea, but somehow we just like get it together.
Yeah,
just, I don't know
we
what.
We just exist.
I tell you, we just are, aren't we? Okay. There's two words remaining.
Oh, no.
Fittingly, the word for you to tackle is emotional.
Oh. Where's Cindy going to go with emotional?
Come on, man.
Is it positive emotional?
No, we can't. You don't look for us. You know the rules.
I'm not looking. I'm just questioning in my mind. I'm thinking out loud. Wreck.
Roller coaster.
Oh, no. Cindy, I'm sorry.
Okay, do you know what? Let's just move quickly on. What have you got for leather?
Jacket.
Yes, that's absolutely right. It is four out of five on five
words. I'm an emotional
wreck five
after
grand.
That. I really
can't,
but
my bilge pump's all over the place, mate. Let me tell you. Cindy, a charm having you on the show. Thank you for joining us in the mornings on Absolute Radio 70s. Have a lovely day ahead. We will speak to you again soon. Creeping closer and closer. We've just witnessed a four out of five.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.